Micah wrote, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But every one shall sit under their vine and under their fig tree, and none shall make them afraid." But not yet. This week, on Friday, Deborah and I decided we would like to go to Parliament Hill. So we headed out on Friday night to Parliament Hill in the middle of the storm, because I wanted to see the poppies coming down the Peace Tower. When we got there, there were only about four or five people, and an RCMP cruiser, four and five people standing on the hill. It was a pretty wretched night, but it's pretty impressive watching the poppies fall. About 2 weeks before, we went for a walk in the neighborhood because I wanted to take her to see the Aboriginal Veterans Monument. It's a monument that's always moved me for all kinds of reasons, not least of which is our Aboriginal veterans fought valiantly in all of our wars for freedoms. We talked about winning our freedom. They didn't get it. And it's still not totally won. But the monument is a great monument and a place for meditation. And the monument is surrounded by a golden eagle, the bird that brings the messages from the gods down to humanity. Around the base of the monument are sacred animals, spirit animals. And on the monument there are four people facing the compass points. On the north and the south, there are armed warriors. And in the middle, facing the street, there is an elder with a peace pipe, because that is the end that we all desire. There's a person on the other side, but I want to save that for a little bit later. It's an impressive monument. And we're standing in an era, in an area, that is full of monuments. The War Memorial is one of the older ones, but there have been many monuments created ever since. And so, as you stand there at the Aboriginal Veterans Monument and look up the street, you see our National War Memorial, which will have thousands of people that are assembling now, as we remember that this is the 100th anniversary of the end of the First World War. In about a half an hour, we commemorate that. An incredible commemoration. And that war memorial commemorates so many other sacrifices made from that time to this time. It was consecrated, it was opened by George VI in 1939. And there was only one campaign on that, and that was the campaign, the Great War for Civilization, May of 1939. In September of 1939, we declared war on Germany again. The Second World War took place. And subsequently, other campaigns have been added to the monument. We've added the Boer War, which was well before the First World War. Of course, that's what the monument was for. The war to end all wars. The Second World War, Korea, and now Afghanistan. So that monument for us is a sacred place. And in the year 2000, an unknown Canadian soldier in a cemetery near Vimy was repatriated and lies at the base of the memorial, a sacred ground. And not so long after that, Corporal Nathan Cirillo of the Argyll and Southern Highlanders added his blood to the monument, even more sacred. It's a sacred place of memorial of those who have made the sacrifices in times past right to this day. And if you move from the war memorial and you start heading to the west, past Parliament Hill, you will get to the War Museum. And the War Museum is an incredibly sober place, and within about 20 minutes, the sun will come through a slot in the roof, and it will shine on a tombstone in the Chapel of Remembrance. It is an awesome and austere place. The passageway is made from part of the roof of the Parliament buildings, the Peace Tower. And as I go to the War Museum and I think of all the campaigns that have been fought during the time of our history, and it's been a bloody time, I think of the words of George V that he spoke on the 11th of May, 1922, shortly after the First World War. And he said, "In the course of my pilgrimage, I have many times asked myself whether there can be a more potent advocates of peace upon earth through the years to come than this mass multitude of silent witnesses to the desolation of war." The War Museum. But before you get to the War Museum, there's another memorial that I visited about this time last year, in an austere place, kind of difficult to get to, but everybody should go there. And it's the Holocaust Memorial. And it reminds us of the evil that we have confronted in war, and the evil that we fought to stave off, albeit unsuccessfully. On the 10th, 9th, and 10th of November, 1938, 80 years ago, yesterday, was Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass. It was the beginning of the final solution, the Holocaust. About 8 months after that, Canadians, our government, knowing that that was happening, turned away a ship, the SS St. Louis, with 962 Jews aboard. They tried to land in Cuba. They tried to land in the United States. The Coast Guard escorted them to Halifax, and they were refused landing. Of those 962 Jews aboard, about 500 went to the camps, 300 did not survive, others managed to escape. If you go to Pier 21, you'll see a great big cast iron disc, and it's called the Wheel of Conscience. And the names of all on board that ship are inscribed on one side, and there are other gears from the other side, one saying anti-Semitism. The press at the time called that the monument of none is too many, after the words spoken by an immigration officer as the ship landed. We sent them away, a caravan, at our doors. And so we remember that. And our Prime Minister made an apology for that. It was planned long ago, but it was made an apology. Just days after the killing of 11 Jews at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. And so I had lunch with Rabbi Stephen Garten last week, and we talked about the desecration of synagogues and mosques in our city and the response of the faith community that came together after that. So that too is hallowed ground. And so as you keep on going from the Aboriginal Veterans Monument and you go in the other direction, you will come to the National Gallery. And in front of that is the Peacekeeping Monument. Now I know some of you that are here have served in various and sundry peacekeeping missions. I didn't realize that for the Peacekeeping Monument, there is actually a particular month, a particular day, a peacekeeping day in August. I should have known that because I was in the Golden Heights. When I was in the Golden Heights, we had a monument there. And the monument was, I think it was the 7th of August, 1974, when the Syrians shot down a Royal Canadian Aircraft Buffalo, making a UN run into Damascus. We had a monument on the Golden Heights. And so remember all those that served in peacekeeping missions. And sometimes there was not much peace to keep. I got a call last week from one of our chaplains, a priest of this diocese, Michel Gagné, who's with the field ambulance and the helicopters in Mali, the 37th peacekeeping mission from 1947. 37. We haven't done it for a while, but we're back into that. So we remember them. And there are other people that we also remember, and we don't often do that. But from 1950 to 1990 was the Cold War. We don't think of that. And some of you who have served are Cold War warriors. And there weren't shots fired in anger. But we actually had more people deployed. When I was a kid, My father was a soldier, and we were in Paris for 3 years, and I was in my young teens, and I thought, being in Paris for 3 years, this is really neat. Then I came home to bases, and all of my fellow students, well, they went to D&D schools in Metz and in Germany. And I thought, after that, you know, I've been preaching Remembrance Day services for years, forgetting that there were other people that went away from home. And that sounds like kind of sweet, but it was dangerous. We had thousands and thousands of people serving with the forces in Europe. And we had thousands of sailors sailing the North Atlantic. I was reading an article written by General Paul Manson, who was our chief of defense staff for a while, and a longtime Cold Warrior, and also a parishioner of mine when I was the dean of the cathedral. Paul's still in the cathedral, and one of the moving figures behind the war museum. And he reminds us that in the Cold War, we actually lost, killed, 962 people, most from the Royal Canadian Air Force. Most of us don't know of that particular sacrifice. So it's huge. We remember our veterans, we remember all of those that sacrificed today, and we remember the wounded. I go to a war memorials now, and I remember at war memorials seeing all kinds of people, mostly old people, old men and women wearing medals. So I want to get to the other side of the Aboriginal monument. On the other side of that particular monument, there are the armed warriors, there is the elder with a peace pipe. On the other side, in the shadows, and a lot of people don't notice this, but Lloyd Pinay, the Aboriginal sculptor from Northern Saskatchewan, intended it this way. There's a woman holding a feather. And the purpose of that, he said, is to remind us of those who stayed at home and just waited and watched and looked after family, those who stayed at home. And I remember my mother. My father went to war early on. He came back for a while. I was conceived, and he went back for occupation forces. I met him when I was 2. Just so familiar, the same with my father-in-law. Things have changed. In the First World War, 2,800 women went there as nursing sisters. There were about 600,000 men at the war, 2,800 nursing sisters. During the Second World War, there were women in all three branches of the forces. And there's a special tonight on W5 about women who were flyers. I mean, who knew that? That flew the ferry command and were air crew, and all kinds of other things that were done. And then during the Afghan mission, one of the first casualties was Captain Nicola Goddard, 1st Royal Canadian Horse Artillery, died early on in the campaign. And there were other people with the combat arms, other women. I was thinking of our veterans. And I remember sort of being at in Edmonton. And I was in Edmonton for one of those deployments of our people off to Afghanistan. It was a deployment of the PPCLI, the British Canadian Light Infantry. And I was hanging around with the chaplains because that's what I was doing. That's what I did. And I was with one of our chaplains, Yvonne. And Yvonne was there, and we spent 3 days in this big building called the field house it was, as troops gathered together. In a small corner, there was a small band playing very quiet music, and you saw families with young children, because this is a young group. You know, and mom and dad were getting on the buses. And so I hung around with Yvonne, and we visited, and all kinds of reasons for visiting, that's the parish. And the chaplains all knew that somewhere in the course of that deployment, they would have to notify some of these families of a loved one who had died or was wounded. We knew that. And it was indeed so. We lost combat engineers in that particular deployment, and others, and many others, and we never know the numbers, severely wounded. So I was with Yvonne for 3 days, and we saw everybody off on the plane. On the last day, Yvonne came, and she changed the color of her uniform. She was wearing this, the green. On the third day, Yvonne was wearing this. She got on the bus. She loaded a kit. She kissed her spouse goodbye and her toddler, and she went to war. As I looked around, I realized I'm the old guy there. They're young. They're in their 20s and in their 30s. It's astounding they went to war, but that's the age that has always gone to war. These old vets, they were that age too. And we lost entire generations or part thereof and wounded others. And we have still not beat our swords into plowshares. So for me, today and Remembrance Day is a time of great sadness. It's a time of great gratitude. It's a time for reflection. It's a time to be angry. And it's a time to resolve that we will honor them and do whatever we can for our veterans and do whatever we can to be instruments of peace that seems so, so evasive. And we can do it in all kinds of ways. We'll do it by prayer today. We'll do it by supporting our veterans. I was at Synod. I hadn't been to Synod for years. I never thought I'd ever go again. But I actually had a fun time. And when I was at Synod, I went down to visit some displays when everyone else was doing stuff that I wasn't particularly interested in, which is a fair bit. You know, I don't have to. So I went down below and I spoke to Bruce Marshall. Back here. And I picked up this Veterans House, multi-faith housing. And we're going to build this. And we're going to build them across the country. And this is the kind of thing, just one thing, it's the kind of thing we really need to go to. Lest we forget, we will remember. Amen.